This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa intaba'a hudah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our class of History of Islam. Now, inshallah, we will discuss the life in Mecca before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll start actually from day one of Mecca. The beginning of Mecca starts when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his wife Hajar to Mecca, and when they were there, there was nobody and nothing. So Hajar asked Adam, she asked Ibrahim alayhi salam, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to put us here? Where are you leaving us? He said yes. So she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember us. And Ibrahim alayhi salam himself, he admits that there is nothing. As Allah says in Surah Ibrahim, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So I placed of my progeny in a place where there is no crops, there is nothing, there is no fruit, nothing. So that was the beginning of Mecca from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He left his wife and her baby alone. You could imagine an infant that needs to be nursed with his mother alone in that place, but of course that was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hajar, she was worried and there was no water. She ran 7 times between As-Safa and Al-Marwa until she found the well of Zamzam. The water was gushing forth and she had the water. Now that place is desert, and the Bedouins, they wanted the water badly. So any place where there is water, you will find life there and you will find people. But since it started soon, so there was nobody yet. So at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was no one living in Mecca. Once people passed by and they saw the water, they wanted to live there. And Hajar was happy because she was alone and she wanted some people to talk to. So she agreed to allow for them to stay there, but on the condition that she is the one who is in control of water, because whoever was in control of water, he's in control of position in everything. He's in command. That tribe was called Jurhum. So Jurhum was the first tribe to inhabit Mecca at the time of Hajar. It was the tribe of Jurhum. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to place his wife in that place for a reason. Why? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to put Hajar in that place where it is desert, there is nothing?
Because Bayt al-Ma'mur is on top.
Bayt al-Ma'mur is on top, and what's in the bottom? On the house of Allah, was it there?
No, not at the they said Adam alayhi salam built it, but
who says that? So that's the question. Who built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ibrahim
and Ismail.
So before that, there was no house. Is that what you're saying? Yes, do we have answer from the students online?
Arshia says Adam.
So we have now Ibrahim and Adam. Whatever you say, we need an evidence. You need the evidence. It's not enough to say something without a proof. So what do you think?
Now, suppose we say Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who built the house. Where is the proof for that? Where can we find it? Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ. And remember when Ibrahim and Ismail, they do what? They raise the foundation. So they raise, they don't build. So there is a possibility that the house was there, or at least the pillars were there. Some scholars said the house is there, it existed with the earth itself. From day one, the house is there, with the earth. Some say it is Adam alayhi salam, it's not Ibrahim. Because there is a narration says that all prophets, they circumambulated the house. So there is a narration says that Adam alayhi salam, there is an opinion says Adam alayhi salam is the one who built the house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, which house was on earth first? Which house means which masjid? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the house of Allah, the sacred house. And then he was asked, what's next? Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Masjid of Jerusalem. And when he was asked, how many years between them? He said, 40 years. There was 40 years between them. So this means the possibility that it was built by a human being. But Allahu Alam, also the opinion that Ibrahim ﷺ built the house, it's a strong opinion as well. Any opinion you follow, you need a proof for it. And that's your job. You go back to the tafsir of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ. And in Surah Ibrahim, when Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they completed the building of the house. So we have two opinions. Now when Ibrahim alayhi salam built the house with his son Ismail, Allah commanded him to call people for Hajj. Now, once Ibrahim alayhi salam called people for Hajj, people started responding. Ibrahim, when he said, he asked Allah, how can I shout and it will reach everybody? I am only one man and I cannot see anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that it is your job to call and our job to deliver your call to the people. So people started coming. Now they come, there is a house of Allah and there is water. Some of them go back, some of them they don't want, so they want to stay. So the first tribe stayed there was the tribe of Jurhum. Jurhum was the first tribe to stay there. At that time, Ismail alayhi salam reached the adulthood and he wanted to get married. So he married from the tribe of Jurhum. His wife was from this tribe, from the tribe of Jurhum. And Ibrahim alayhi salam used to come back and forth. And there is a narration that he came and he did not find Ismail. He found his wife. And he asked her, how is life with you? How is your husband treating you? And she said, we are not in a good situation. She complained. So he told her, I am his father. Once he comes, tell him to change his doorstep. When Ismail came, she told him there is an old man came. He said, he's your father. And he asked me to change the doorstep. He said, that's my father. And he asked me to divorce you. So he divorced her. And Ismail alayhi salam married another woman. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam came again. He did not find Ismail. And he asked his wife, how is life? How is everything? And she said, Alhamdulillah, everything is good. So he told her, tell him when he comes to fix his doorstep, to keep it. So when Ismail came, she told him what happened and he said, that's my father and he asked me to keep you as a wife. Now, some scholars said Ibrahim alayhi salam, he lived in Palestine. It was 40 days traveling back and forth each way. So how could he come and go and come and go? Some scholars said he used al-buraq. Because al-buraq, that animal, it was the ride for all messengers. That's what Jibreel alayhi salam told al-Buraq. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was riding al-Buraq, he said, he is the most noble man who took you as a ride. So that means previous messengers, they used it. So there is a possibility that Ibrahim alayhi salam was using al-Buraq as well.
Did the flying horse?
What?
Al-Buraq, was that the flying horse?
Yes. Al-Buraq is the, it's not a horse, it's an animal between the horse and the donkey. In average, one step is like 60, 70 miles each step. Okay, now Ismail alayhi salam married, he was married to one of the tribe of Jurhum, and he had lots of children. So now Mecca started to be a city. Now the people started growing. And after Ismail alayhi salam, people started fighting. Who takes the leadership over the house? Because now it is the house of Allah which has the spiritual importance, sanctity, and there is the water. It's also the financial importance, economy. So it is a potential place for anybody who wanted to take control. So there were lots of battles among the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, who should take control over the house. Until one day, the tribe of Jurhum itself, they took control over the house. Now the children of Ismail, they are not considered from the tribe of Jurhum. They are considered from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. But their uncles are from Jurhum. So the uncles, they took the leadership, they took over, and they controlled the house. They controlled the house for a period of time. However, they did not honor the house as it was supposed to be honored. Now, generation after generation, the shaitan is working against the Muslims, because Ismail alayhi salam was a prophet and his children, they were supposed to be muwahideen. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But generation after generation, shaitan came to them. He started deviating them. They committed adultery in front of the house. Isaf and Naila. Isaf is the name of a man. Naila, the name of a woman. They fornicated in front of the house. So they were transformed instantly to stones. And the people learned the lesson. They started honoring again the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started showing respect to the house of Allah. And they put these two people, these two rocks, on the gate of the house. So anyone who comes, he knows that this is what happened to the people who disrespected the house. But the next generation, Shaitan came to them and he told them, your fathers, your forefathers used to worship these idols. So now shirk started with, it started with the people of Jurhum. It started with the people of Jurhum and they started worshipping these two idols. Now there is another tribe. They were living outside Mecca and they wanted to take over as well. Everybody wanted to control Mecca. And they were able, eventually, they were able to take over. This tribe is called Khuza'a. Khuza'a. This tribe is called Khuza'a. Khuza'a is the name of a man. Khuza'a is the name of a man. And the story of Khuza'a goes back all the way to Yemen. Now we are moving from Mecca to Yemen. Just try to keep track of the historical incidents. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam with his wife and his son Ismail in Mecca, then the Jurhums, then Khuza'a. Where did Khuza'a come from? It came from Yemen. In Yemen, there was a civilization. from early on. There was a tribe called Saba, and we have in the Quran an entire surah called Surah Saba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ. Indeed, there was an ayah in the people of Saba, where they lived. In Saba, that tribe, they lived between two mountains. They lived in the valley. And they built a dam. This dam was called Ma'rib, Sad Ma'rib. This dam was called Sad Ma'rib. And they were very, very fortunate. Those people, they got everything. Fruits, vegetables, all types of provision. They had everything easily. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. They were given two gardens. Jannatani an yameenin wa shimal. So Allah reminded them with His favors. But they disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah punished them. How He punished them? By destroying the dam, and the entire city was drowned. So before that, remember now, this is the situation. The city is great, you have the dam, everything is okay. One man, he was a rich man, he noticed that there is a rat digging a hole inside the dam. So he knew that the dam will be destroyed. He knew that the entire city will be destroyed. But he did not want to tell everybody. If he told everybody, everybody will panic, they will leave everything, and they'll try to leave. He wanted to keep it as a secret so he could take advantage of it as much as possible. He was a rich man, and he could not leave easily. He wanted to leave because he knew that this place will be destroyed. So he asked one of his sons to slap him in front of everybody. So he will be insulted in front of everybody. He will show that he was aggravated, so he will leave this city. And he will say, I will not live in a place where my son insulted me in front of everybody. He did that. And once people saw this, nobody gave it a thought. They thought that this is normal. And now he wanted to sell his properties. He wanted to sell everything he has. And people said, let's take advantage of this. So he was able to get his money. He was able to get everything, and he left. Where did he go? He settled close to Mecca. And day after day, until the tribe was formed, the tribe of Khuza'a. So that's how Khuza'a came from. Is this clear? Are you following with me? Okay, now, the city was destroyed. The city was destroyed. The dam, Sad Ma'rib, was destroyed. People, not all of them left Yemen. Some of them left. Some of them left. And they settled in many places. One of the places they settled in was Yathrib. What is Yathrib? At that time, Yathrib. Yathrib is Al-Madina.
No. Yeah, but it was farm.
Who lived in Yathrib? Who lived in Yathrib? Al-Aus wal Khazraj. Who are they? Yes. Ansar. Ansar, they became Ansar at the time of the Messenger ﷺ. But before that, they were Jews? No. They were two tribes originally from Yemen. And they lived in Medina. It was called Yathrib at that time. Why they moved? Because of the destruction of the dam, the Sad of Ma'rib. So now you understand where Al-Aus and Al-Khazraj came from. They came from Yemen, and they lived in Medina. So Al-Aus and Al-Khazraj, their ancestry goes all the way back to Yemen. But they left Yemen for a reason, because of the destruction of the city. Going back to Yemen. In Yemen, each king, there was also a civilization in Yemen. Because again, Yemen, there were mountains, good weather, and there is the sea. So there was a civilization. Each ruler of the Yemen is called Tubba. The title of the ruler of Yemen is called Tubba. What's the title of the ruler of Egypt? Pharaoh. What's the title of the ruler of Rome? Caesar. Right? So, the same thing with Tubba. Tubba is the name of one of the kings of Yemen. He was the first one to clothe the Kaaba. Now, the Kaaba was built, but there was no cloth around it. He was the first one to do that. Why? There was a reason. Tubba was involved in many fights. Again, that's the nature of Arabia. You need to understand the nature of Arabia. There were lots of fights. Tribes are fighting other tribes to take control over the water. They want to extend their strength, so they fight. And Tubba was fighting until he reached the proximity, the vicinity of Medina. Now, who was living in Medina? Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, but they were not the only ones. They came first, but there are other people came next. Who are they? The Jews. Why they came and lived in Yathrib, in Medina? Why did they live there? Yes, they knew that it was the place where a prophet will migrate to. So they lived there. So Tubba, he was fighting until he reached there. And he intended to destroy Al-Madinah, because he reached Al-Madinah and its people upset him. So he wanted to destroy Medina. One of the leaders in Medina, he told him, instead of destroying us, I will give you something better. Go to Mecca and destroy the house, that place, and everybody will follow you. So he believed that, and he wanted to go. He wanted to go there. And the leader wanted to save Medina from the destruction. Two rabbis from the Jews, they heard what that man told him. So they went to him, they went to Tubba, and they told him, do not listen. Do not do that. Anyone who intended to do any harm to that house, he was destroyed. So he told them, then why you are not there? If you honor that house and you show that much respect to the house, why don't you go there? They said, the people who are living there, they changed the religion, the correct religion, and we cannot go there in that situation. So he liked what they said. And they advised him, actually, they told him, instead of going and destroying the house, go and clothe the house. Show respect and honor the house, and people will love you for that. And Allah will love you. So he did that. And he liked them. He liked those two rabbis. And he said, you should come with me to Yemen. So they accepted, they came with him. Once they came to Yemen, of course he followed them, he became a Jew, he followed them. Once he came to Yemen, the people of Yemen refused to accept those two rabbis, refused to change their religion. So he asked them, he said, if you want, Tubba said, if you want, we can sacrifice. We will sacrifice a thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever was accepted, we will follow it. So the two rabbis sacrificed, and their sacrifice was accepted. The fire came, and they took it. So people knew that those two rabbis are following the true religion. Now remember, this was before the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So they knew that this is the correct religion. And from that time, Judaism was common in Yemen. So if you're asked how Judaism came to Yemen, because Yemen was pure Arab. It was from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. There was no people there, whether Jews or Christians. How Judaism came to Yemen? From those two rabbis. Now, we will remain in Yemen for another story, which is the story of the elephant. And this happened the same year the Prophet ﷺ was born. Now, in Yemen, some people complained about the ruling, and they wanted to change the rulers that they have. So they went and they sought the help of other people against their own people, against the Arab. So they went to Abyssinia. In Abyssinia, the people there used to follow Christianity. They were Christians. And an army was sent to Yemen. An army was sent to Yemen to support some of the people who asked for the support. And they took over and they controlled. But instead of giving the leadership to the one who wanted it, they themselves took the leadership over Yemen. And now we have Christians in Yemen, and actually Abyssinians. They are ruling Yemen. There were two rulers, two leaders from the military. They were sent by An-Najashi. Again, An-Najashi is the name of the ruler of Abyssinia. It's a title. One of them was Abraha. And Abraha did not like what the other ruler was doing, so he killed him. And he took over and he ruled Yemen. That's where Abraha comes from. Now, Abraha, he was a practicing Christian. And he heard of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He heard of the Kaaba. So he said, I will not keep that place. He wanted to move all the people and to bring them to Yemen to perform Hajj there instead of performing Hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that purpose, he built a big, huge church. It was called Al-Qulays. Al-Qulays. It was huge. And he sent to An-Najashi. He told him, I built a place, a church, that will compete all other places of worship on earth. And I will make everybody come to it, to perform Hajj to it. That was his purpose. Now, some of the Arab, they knew of what he did, and they were upset. And they wanted to insult that place, which is the church, Al-Qulays. So one of the Bedouins, he came. Of course, that place was protected. There were guards, soldiers, because it was a piece of art for them, for Abraha and others. He came in the night without anyone seeing him, and he defecated in the middle of that place. And he left. So Abraha, in the morning, the people came and told him that there is najasa, there is impurity in the middle of your place. That place that you honor, you made it sacred place, look what happened. He asked, who did that? They told him that we heard one of the Bedouins was here in the night. He's from the Arab. So he intended from that time to go and destroy the Kaaba. And for that purpose, he prepared the elephant to go there, and he started moving. And, of course, we know the details of the story, what happened. He went north with the intention of destroying the Kaaba, but, of course, that did not happen. Once they wanted to push the elephant to the direction of the Kaaba, it refused. Once they turned the elephant it runs. Because it knows that this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the animals knew that this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah sent the birds with stones, destroying everybody. At that time, the people of Mecca, they left Mecca. Because they knew that whoever intended to destroy the Kaaba, he will not be able to. And there is a punishment coming. So they did not want to be included in that punishment. And also, the people of Mecca were unable to fight back. They are unable to fight Abraha and his soldiers. He brought lots of soldiers with him, a big number of army. So they were unable to fight him. Who was the chief of Mecca at that time? The time of the fil, the year of the fil, the year of the elephant. It was Abdul Muttalib, exactly. And Abdul Muttalib, he came to Abraha. Because the soldiers of Abraha, they took lots of camels, which belonged to Abdul Muttalib. And Abraha heard of Abdul Muttalib. Because again, as I told you, Mecca was the center. Everybody knows about Mecca. So he came to Abraha, asking him to return the camels. Abraha was disappointed. He thought that he is coming to negotiate with him how he can dissuade him, how can he prevent him from destroying the Kaaba. And he said, I am coming to destroy the house of your Lord that you worship. And you're asking me about your camels? And Abdul Muttalib told him the famous statement, I am the Lord of my camels, so I should protect my camels. And Allah is the Lord of the house, and He will protect His house. That's what he told him. So he said, give him his camels. He took his camels and he left. And of course, we know what happened. The entire army was destroyed, and Mecca, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was protected. Now, we will go back again to Yemen. Now, the army of Abraha was destroyed. The people who are living there, the Arab, they wanted to get rid of the Christians again. How can they do that? Alone they cannot, because Abyssinia is close and they have strong state there. So they went to the Persians. They went to Iran, to Kisra, to seek help from them. And the one who went there, he was called Saif ibn the Yazan. Saif ibn the Yazan, he was one of the princes. He was a prince, and he went to Kisra. But Kisra told him, your land is far from here, and I have no interest. Why should I send my army to fight people I don't know and I don't need to take control of? So he did not respond to him. But he told him, I will give you some money. When he went, he left with the money, he gave the money to the soldiers. So Kisra heard that. He called on him again. He said, are you crazy? I give you money and you give it to my followers? He said, what would I do with your money? We have lots of money there. He wanted to convince him that let's go. It's a good thing to do. So one of the assistants of Kisra, he told him, why don't you send some people you don't need? If they won, it's you who won. If they were killed, you did not lose anything. So he sent with him 900 thugs or thieves. People who were convicted, who were in prison, he sent them with him as a support. And eventually, Saif ibn the Yazan, he was able to take over. But again, the Persians are the real ones who took over. They won for the advantage of Kisra, and now they are ruling Yemen. So you notice Yemen was always a turmoil place where lots of battles and lots of fights there. But eventually it was ruled by Arab at the end. Now we will move back to Mecca. Remember, we stopped at the Jurhum and Khuza'a. Khuza'a, they ruled Mecca. They took over. They kicked out the Jurhums, who were the relatives of Ismail alayhi salam. And the children of Ismail are not in control anymore. And they want to take over, but they cannot. Khuza'a itself, again, they also disrespected the house. The first one to start changing the religion of Ibrahim is a man mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. Do you know this man? What's his name? The first one to change the religion of Ibrahim. That's what the Messenger ﷺ said. He was Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. Amr ibn Luhay from the tribe of Khuza'a. Now Amr ibn Luhay was a very honored man. He was a very well respected man. He was the leader of Khuza'a. And he was, of course, the ruler of Mecca. He went to Al-Sham and he saw people worshipping idols. He liked that. So he asked them to give him an idol with him to bring it to Mecca. So they gave him one idol, one of the biggest idols, which was honored later on by all the Arab who worshipped the idols. That idol's name was Hubal. Hubal. And you remember in the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan was calling U'lu Hubal, raise O Hubal, because all Arab used to honor that idol. Where did it come from? It came from Al-Sham. Who brought it? Amr ibn Luhay. He started changing the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Qusay bin Kilab, he was able, after he lobbied lots of people, he was able to regain the leadership of the house. Now one incident happened when Jurhum was kicked out by Khuza'a. They covered Zamzam. And Zamzam, after they left, was not known at all. They did not know where is Zamzam anymore. So Zamzam vanished. It was for a specific time only. Yes?
Did you start where you left off?
Yeah. Actually, I repeated. Who asked this question? Okay. Qusay was able to regain the leadership of the house. And he was from the children of Ismail. When Jurhum was kicked out by Khuza'a, they covered the treasure of the house and they covered the well of Zamzam. They did not want to let it usable by Khuza'a. And they left. Khuza'a was unable at all to locate the well of Zamzam anymore. Now, Qusay bin Kilab, he took over and he knew that there is a well, the well of Zamzam. It is there, but he doesn't know where it is. Qusay bin Kilab, he had four children, four sons. And once he took over, he was very well respected. And again, once you rule Mecca, it's almost you rule the entire Arabia. All the tribes will respect you. So all his sons were also respected. He decided, instead of giving the leadership to his eldest son, he will give it to his youngest son. He noticed that he is weak. So he thought that when he gives him the leadership, when his youngest son succeeds him, he will become strong. But once Qusay died, and they knew that he gave the leadership to his youngest son, the old sons, they did not like that. They were already strong, so they wanted to take the leadership, and they fought the young son. And of course, there were many battles going on. Now, we are reaching Quraysh. Before that, Quraysh was not known. Quraysh was not known, this name. Quraysh means gathering from taqarrush. Taqarrush means to gather. It was the title of Qusay ibn Kilab. You remember Qusay ibn Kilab, he was the one who was able to regain the leadership of the house. Why he was called Quraysh? Because again, he is the one who gathered the children of Ismail to take over, to regain the leadership. So from that, now we know where did the name Quraysh come from. It came from Qusay ibn Kilab. It was a title given to him, and the meaning is to gather. Taqarrush means gathering. It has another meaning, which is to gain. Quraysh means gaining, again because they gained the leadership of the house after they lost it. And here, inshallah, we will stop, and with this we will conclude our session for today. Is there any question?